Well, hello and welcome to another episode of A Cast of Entrepreneurs. I'm Elaine Stroud, Chief Executive of the Entrepreneurs Forum, and with me I have Sally Cowling.
Hi, everyone.
And this is our first episode of Series 2, so I'm delighted to introduce today's cast. With me in the studio, I have Charlie Holt and Amar Mirza. And joining us via live link all the way from Middlesbrough, we have Chloe Clover from Wonder Films. So I'm going to go over to Charlie first. Do you want to just briefly introduce yourselves and tell the audience a little bit about you?
Thank you for having me. I am an entrepreneur with a number of different businesses. I'm the exec chair of a business called Opencast Software. We do software for central government. I'm the MD of a family business. I'm fourth generation running Holt's Yard. And I have a recruitment business in London called Futureheads.
Fantastic, Charlie. And a massive champion of everything to do with the Northeast.
I do a lot on LinkedIn about those things, yeah.
And we're going to explore some more about that later as we get into this podcast. So Amar, sitting next to Charlie, we have Amar Mirza. Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Delighted to be here as well. Amar Mirza, born and brought up here in the greatest region in the world. I'm also a bit of a serial entrepreneur. Have a number of interests from the SME Centre of Excellence, where we provide the right support at the right time, all the way through to a not-for-profit and a charity as well.
Wonderful. And Chloe Clover, I'm going to call you Clover from now on. Tell us a little about yourself and Wonder Films.
Hey, also thank you for having me. I'm Chloe Clover, so I'm the CEO of Wonder. So we're a content marketing agency based out of Middlesbrough in the Tees Valley. And we do all sorts of things like creating cool content for brands all over the world, as well as productions for TV and ads and all that cool stuff.
And proud to be based in the Northeast.
Very proud to be based in the Northeast, yeah.
Well, we've invited all three of you here today because we know that you're champions of the region. We love this region as much as you do. And so we wanted to kick off by asking you what you think are the advantages for businesses being based right here in this region. And I think I'll start with Charlie because he's smiling at me, ready to go.
We have all sorts of physical, geographical positives, cheap houses, the sea, the green fields nearby, Goldilocks-sized, not too big, not too small city that's a core city in the UK with an airport. But it's the people. It's the culture of helping everyone out, being super friendly, cooperation, because it's small, you have to compete and cooperate. And the education elements in the region, you know, are five or six universities nearby, means that we've got everyone on, you know, super bright pathways.
Yeah, so many different advantages. And I agree about the network of people. And I think sometimes because I love that term Goldilocks City, I've not come across that before. But being a slightly smaller region or about the right size, maybe it makes it easier to build those networks and those connections.
I think you particularly can't avoid doing that in a smaller place. And I think we shouldn't compare ourselves to London, which is often the case. We should compare ourselves to places like Bristol or Stockholm that are comparable sizes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Chloe, you're Teesside based. What would you say, you grew up in Teesside. Am I right in thinking you grew up in the Redcar area?
Yeah, I'm a Redcar lass, yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, I love being from this region. I think it's offered us a lot of opportunity. And I think part of that's down to, and maybe I was of the generation that maybe received a little bit more support, I'm not sure, but there was, when we were coming through in business, there was a lot of funding available to us, a lot of support available to us. So I always felt a benefit of being born in this region and the business being in this region. And I suppose even to the point where we actually set up whilst we were in Australia, so the other side of the world, but decided to come back to Teesside to really grow our agency here. So yeah, I think there's tons of opportunity and I'm, like you said earlier, I'm really proud to be from where I am.
So from Australia to Teesside, it's quite a leap. What made you come back, Clover?
Well, it wasn't the weather. I just love, we both do. So my partner's a Borough girl as well. So she was born and bred in Borough and we decided to leave together. And then, yeah, we knew that if we were going to really make something special happen, we needed to come back home to do that. I think we just knew that we could grow something here. And yeah, I think it just felt like the right, it felt like the right thing to do. It felt like the opportunity was here now and we could make a difference if we did it. So we decided to.
Could I ask a controversial point?
Go ahead.
Does location matter anymore?
That is an excellent question, which we'll ask to Amar, because you're a champion of the SME sector. And we know that the Northeast does have an, I don't know if it's the right word to say it has a problem, but it has a lower population density of businesses than other regions. And part of your remit and what you do with the SME Centre is to help encourage more companies to start and help them innovate and grow. Do you think location matters?
Yes, is to put it bluntly. And the reason why I say that is probably twofold. One, very briefly, you know, I constantly ran away from the Northeast to go and work elsewhere and was always brought back to the Northeast. Could we replicate what we have here in the Northeast elsewhere virtually? Don't know, don't think so. So hence why I've sort of said, does location matter? Secondly, around density and population, I think that's got a lot to do with ambition and aspiration. You know, the hesitancy that people have, because statistically, lots of people want to set up a business here. They just don't necessarily take that step to do so. So I think part of what we have tried to do is raise ambitions and realise aspiration and things like that through the SME Centre of Excellence, but also through the broader, wider networks. And Chloe's mentioned some of that around the support that's available. So good quality support is absolutely critical.
And what was it that drew you back, Amar, when you moved away?
My late mother, you know, without a doubt. I missed her incredibly, but more broadly than that, the region, the people. You know, I worked in London, worked for the civil service, was getting paid so much money at that time for a young person who'd left here. I was in London, most cosmopolitan place. I felt as if I could fit in London, but it wasn't the Northeast. It wasn't, you know, that sense of personal approach, the positive, passionate, proud people that exist here.
Maybe that sense of community.
Without a doubt. Hence why I say, does location matter? I think it definitely has an influence as to whether you can get a job done elsewhere. I think you probably can in this day and age, and people, lots of people do.
And Charlie, I'm going to turn to you. So with your role at Opencast, which is one of the fastest growing tech companies in the Northeast, you've managed to grow by recruiting people who aren't necessarily based at your headquarters in Bicca. So maybe location hasn't mattered to the growth of that organisation.
No, I mean, yes and no. We've grown from 200 to 400 to about 500 in the last year, year on year. And we've hired people across the UK. Our work with central government requires those people, our staff, to be in the UK. But we've also brought people from out of the UK. And in the last couple of years, people from all over the Commonwealth, principally, who have relocated to the UK. And I sometimes ask them why. And I think it's easier for people to consider coming to Newcastle if you're from Nigeria, India, Pakistan, Canada, than it is necessarily from London, because what you're getting is stability of the environment, rule of law, public services that work, and people down south don't necessarily value those things in the same way. I think there's a quantity of life for people in the south of England, whereas there's a quality of life up in the north.
Yeah, and we all know about the quality of the life, don't we? And everyone listening to this, if you're not from the Northeast, then it's somewhere you should come and have a look at, because it is a wonderful place to live and a place to work, and I think to grow a business. And I think all three of you have seen that through your own business lives. What would you say then, just turning it around, are the most difficult or the challenges of being based in the Northeast of England? Clover, have you found any challenges with being based in the Northeast with what you do? I know you're doing some work to try and grow the film industry in this part of the region, and there's some really good success stories and potential up here.
There is, yeah. I was thinking that as we were speaking. Like, I think most people from the Northeast are huge advocates for the Northeast. Like, we all predominantly love being here and growing our businesses here. But it is difficult. There is challenges. It can often feel like you're a little bit left out the loop when it comes to the wider business community across the UK. I think, obviously, train travel isn't the best, especially from Middlesbrough. That can be a challenge, although it's getting better. So I think there is a lot of challenges. There's a massive skills gap, especially in our industry, as you just touched on there as well, in the screen industry, which is growing in our region, and that's really exciting. That's going to bring a lot of investment to the Northeast, so that's really exciting. However, the skills that are needed for that and for these big projects that are happening, they're currently not here, so there is a little bit of a gap at the moment, which is something that this industry is really looking at trying to do something about that.
But can I just say, comparison is the thief of joy. We're spending a lot of time saying what's good, what's bad. If you're in Truro, you have a whole load of challenges. If you're in Swansea, you have a whole load of challenges. Entrepreneurs just bash through challenges. We kick through walls to make things, to make our own world, and to try and find a livelihood in that world. And the Northeast has got loads of positives, and so let's get cracking.
I don't think it's necessarily bad. Those things that I was mentioning are more, I think it's good to identify the things that you can improve rather than saying, oh, these are good things about the region, these are bad things. I think it's just, yeah, it just helps us identify where to focus our attention, I think.
Yeah, and looking at inspiration and creating that aspiration, do you think it's realistic that the next Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos is based in Redcar or Ashington or another part of the Northeast right now and is just waiting to emerge?
Well, I was just doing something about Lord Armstrong, the Elon Musk of the 1850s, who had three separate, hugely prosperous businesses, employing one in four people in the city back in the 1850s, if not more. And entrepreneurs come from everywhere. And there is a thing, I suppose, there has been a thing with the tech revolution, that there's been a drift to the West Coast in the USA as a place to do that. But I do think there are opportunities everywhere and breakthrough everywhere. You know, look at Spotify from Stockholm. Why is it there? You look at the growth of India and the opportunities in there. So entrepreneurs get traction everywhere.
Yeah, I do wonder sometimes, and I'd like to see your thoughts on this, is the government tend to back sectors. And they predict, don't they? They say the Northeast is going to be great for green tech or something else. But I'm not sure with entrepreneurs that you can pick. The government are a best place to pick who are going to be the winners. Entrepreneurs will come from wherever. Oh, yes, infrastructure matters.
I think one of the breakthrough challenges in place in regions in the UK in industrial policy is that often there's a bit of a wave. Green jobs, professional services, health, manufacturing,
film,
and they put a lot of the same sectors in each city, and it's how do you create the uniques in this city region that will provide the environment for people to prosper and grow.
So what sort of thing do you mean by unique then, Charlie?
So there is a bit of a thing across UK regions. There has been a trend for fintech and saying the Northeast should be a fintech hub. Can we grow that? But if you look at the kinds of tech we have, we don't have any big outsourced international banks here. We don't have any foreign exchange trading, but we do have some transaction processing, Sage, HMRC, Department of Work and Pensions. So I think in branding a region and trying to get things here, you need to be niched down more. Instead of saying fintech, you need to say transaction processing. And for me, that was my endeavour when I set up Dynamo, the tech network, was how do we create some terrains, some games, some sub-niches, if that's a thing, of sectors where we can actually win and say we're the first. So it's like flipping things the other way around to do them differently. And having designated what we're going to win at, we then need to get there in the world and wave our flag for that. So it's not waving it broadly, it's waving it nichely. And I think it's some of the talk we've had about before this session, why have they done well in Teesside? And I'd be interested in Chloe's comments on that. But Ben Houchin, he's the mayor of that region, has some specific terrain, literally and metaphorically, that he needs to build regeneration on. A huge steelworks that's no longer making steel, which happens to be next to the sea, which happens to be next to a massive phosphate mine and chemicals industry. So he's been able to look internationally at very niche people, companies that want a base on the East Coast near Europe in renewable energies, in low-cost steelmaking, in chemicals, and being able to fill that site with a whole load of exciting big money investors, because those are the opportunities there.
So if you take that approach, could you be excluding some of our homegrown talent who aren't in those sectors? I guess, Amar, from your experience, you know, in your SME experience, I'm sure you've got a variety of businesses who are in all sorts of different sectors.
No, we very much have, and actually been quite fortunate to have been supporting Teesside for a number of years. We developed and delivered pre-accelerator, accelerator, scale-up, investor readiness in Tees Valley. In fact, I was reflecting on this morning to the amount of support that we've done across the whole of the Northeast is more in Teesside than it is in the north of the region. And you're absolutely right. It's quite difficult to predict these are the sectors. So if I consider my role at the LEP, where I've been business advisory board chair for 10 years now, and it's, you know, it's 10th anniversary, not the chair of that board, but being part of the LEP for 10 years this year.
The LEP is the local enterprise
local partnership. Enterprise partnership,
which is a government here. Group.
It is a government group, and my point and reflection on that was and is, the strategic plan prioritised a certain number of areas or strategic strengths, areas of focus, which included some of what Charlie's mentioned. But the jobs generally, if I look at Newcastle, the level of hospitality jobs that were created were far more than any of those specialist areas that we were ploughing all of that energy into, right? And I remember sitting round tables and going, what about the hospitality? What about tourism? What about the creative industries? And then you see that sort of thinking catching up, because we have become a destination, Newcastle now, for food. You know, we're starting to punch way above our weight, and, you know, picking up on Charlie's point around comparing against others, you need to benchmark to see where you're at to then work to improve that. So I absolutely agree. We should be creating the right environment for entrepreneurs, regardless of whatever their interests are. It's particularly important to be known for something equally. You know, it was wonderful that we led on maritime, we led on coal, you know, we truly industrialised the globe here in and across the Northeast. So we do need some areas of strength. But going back to Teesside, you know, lots of people were unaware, and Ben's been fantastic for Teesside. I certainly don't disagree with that. But the gaming industry in Teesside has been one of the best globally, and they've supported so many of the big gaming organisations, and that talent. That was a long-term strategy of Teesside University, creating that and various individuals working closely with local entrepreneurs to develop that. So there's examples of that strategy working effectively as well. But it's really, really difficult when you talk about an entrepreneur. As an entrepreneur, I'll go, oh, here's an idea. I'm an ideas person, right? I love ideas. I love testing things. I love validating them. And that might change because of the opportunities that existed, you know, that come about because of economic challenges as well.
If you're enjoying the conversations on this podcast, then get involved. The Entrepreneurs Forum is a membership organisation for entrepreneurs based in the northeast of England. You can find out all the details by going to our website, entrepreneursforum.net.
So you've all got experience as well of other areas and other regions abroad, whether you've done work with people abroad or travelled abroad. Have you seen any other areas which you think are doing a really good job at boosting the sort of entrepreneurs in their region? And can we take any lessons from anyone?
I think, yeah, I mean, look, it's already been mentioned, you know, the West Coast in the US. I think there's been huge growth in TV and film in Australia, especially when we were there, and that inspired us. I think even we talk about the Northeast as a whole, but even in particular, if we dilute it down, there's different aspects of each, sort of Durham, of Newcastle, of Tees Valley, and that we can take stuff from. You know, we spend a lot of time in Manchester. Manchester's a huge hub for TV as well, and media. That's been really exciting. The agency scene in Leeds is phenomenal. The talent in Leeds is incredible for marketing an agency. So I think, yeah, we take inspiration from all over, and hopefully we can learn maybe a little bit more. But yeah, I'm not... I think what Amar said about benchmarking, I think that's really important. So yeah, so there's lots of places that are doing amazing things that we can pull inspiration from.
From what you've said, what I'm hearing is a lot of it is about the people that are in those places that are making things happen. Clover, do you think that that's then there's a lack of people in your industry in the Northeast that we need to upskill to have more critical mass to be able to do more?
Yeah, do you know what? I think that's a really great way to articulate it. Yeah, it always comes down to people, though, doesn't it? At the end, it always comes down to people and money. Those are the two things that ultimately any point in the, it boils down to. So, yeah, so I think there's a massive skills gap. I think things have moved so fast in digital. I suppose things move so fast now anyway. I mean, with AI, I say in digital, but digital crosses over any industry. And the speed it's moving at is just accelerating everything faster than the education system can keep up with. And I think that's where our struggles come from. I think the education, traditional education in specific industries, it just isn't moving as fast as businesses are and the needs of the businesses. We've definitely felt that.
I think we as growth mindset, horizon scanning entrepreneurs don't necessarily look for our network to be local. We're looking at the bleeding edge, cutting edge stuff that happens all around the world to take inspiration. And we just happen to be sort of repackaging that in our local business, local situated, but that can be selling it to clients who happen to be national or international. So that's where I kind of see it as a bit of a non-issue these days.
So Charlie, who do you take inspiration from? And then after you've reflected on that, are any of those people based here in the region, or is the bulk of your inspiration now coming from, you said, like the cutting edge, bleeding edge from around the world?
I think when you have a craft, you look for the leaders in that craft, and LinkedIn has a huge draw, you know, so you're looking at Sam Altman and generative AI, or Satya Nadella from Microsoft. You're looking at Warren Buffett, the commentators who are good at that. And you have your Twitter feed logged onto certain keywords. And so those pieces of inspiration come from all over. And you're looking at, you know, you to develop your craft, you want to copy and replicate and understand how, that's how somebody's done that. That's how they're doing that. Because I can repeat that. And only as you get more into the craft do you really interrogate that even further and to be able to do that thing that other people do. And then once you can do that, you can then innovate from there. And, you know, you're looking for information firstly, and there I understand that. And then you're looking for how that information plays out. And then you're looking how do you get an advantage from that information. And there are levels of intellectualizing about that sort of thing. And you just get more into it and push and push and push. And those inspirations can be a although in your niche, there are leaders in that and there are people who are good at communicating those leads and you feed off that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect way of saying location doesn't actually matter for your inspiration. You can get that in this digital world from anywhere, but go and be quite precise about what you're looking for, because you can, it's a bit of a rabbit warren sometimes, isn't it, LinkedIn? You can lose a few hours searching. So you said you had certain words tagged, you're looking for certain people in the niches that you're looking for inspiration. So if you do that, you can get a head start.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Amar? Yeah. Who inspires you?
These type of conversations really inspire me. And I agree with Charlie, but I also have a slightly complementary view to that. And reflecting on everything that we've talked about, location is a mindset. Silicon Valley is a mindset, right? So all of a sudden I'm in Silicon Valley. All of a sudden I'm now going to create the next whatever it is. So I would argue we could and should, with the right mindset, be able to replicate those type of environments here. So location does, I keep pulling parochially, selfishly, I want to platform the Northeast in every shape, fashion and form. The second thing for me is around inspiration. I regularly have conversations and I always ask people, why? Why do you do that? Why are you doing that? And that solicits a really interesting response. Just last week, I was talking to a couple of people from Deloitte, and it was their backstory to why they work there and why they're located here. One of them had been adopted by the region or adopted the region, and they could not believe why there isn't an influx of others that come here. And those conversations are really inspirational to me. I've got a presentation, three individuals that I regularly make reference to. One is Muhammad Ali, because he'd come to the region and I was fortunate to meet him and for what he stands for and what he's achieved. The second is Sir John Hall. You know, so that's a local legend, as I would describe, who built the Metro Centre and has gone on to champion that Northeast. And the third is might be a fictitious character, but a lot of the most inspirational people in my life was my late mother, my wife and my daughter and things like that, is Wonder Woman, right? Because she always had this positive outlook and could make a big difference and things like that. So they're the three most inspirational people in my life.
I don't know if I was expecting Wonder Woman to be your third, but I'm quite liking that. And Clover, how about you? Who's on your list of people that really inspire you?
Do you know what? I think this morning was interesting. Actually, it was last week, wasn't it, when we got the message. I think I was having a bit of imposter syndrome coming onto this podcast, to be honest, because I was thinking, God, sat with those two, what on earth am I going to say? Because these two are like heroes in this region. So it definitely present company. And then I look at all sorts of industries and all sorts of people doing amazing things. There's big players like Ben Francis from Gymshark and what he's achieved, and I absolutely totally admire him and his journey, and even as far as stepping down from CEO, learning for a couple of years and then taking that title on again. I just think, yeah, it's incredible. Steve Bartlett, everything, what he's achieving is amazing. But then that equally filters down into amazing mentors that we've had. You know, there's people like Bill Scott, I absolutely adore Jill Hunter. I find her such an inspiration. And then there's like really great, we talked about the games industry, people tearing it up around here, local was Bruce Slater's absolutely storming it at the minute. I was on the podcast with Steve Rawlinson last week, who's incredible. Like, honestly, this region is full to the brim of inspiration and incredible people. And Amar, actually, he does ask a lot of questions and it does get really irritating because we were on, I mean that in the nicest way, but we were on an accelerator program with Amar, and that's how I first met him. And he just grills you, he grills and grills and grills until you really understand you and what you do and what you want to do. And at the time you're like, oh, like, but ultimately that pressure and that pushing is what we need, and that's what we give to each other. So yeah, full of inspiration. And sorry, Emma, I meant that in the nicest possible way.
And you know, I mean, just very briefly, if I can come back on that, because I'm always humbled when anyone speaks in such a positive way, because the thing that gets me out of bed and makes my heart smile are people like Chloe, right? So one of the biggest joys that we've had is see people come on journeys and realise their potential. And it's not because of you, it's because of them, you know, and them being able to realise their ambitions and raise their aspirations. I mean, gosh, I remember, you know, from Fuel back through to Accelerator, through to Scale, seeing Chloe's journey and always being that hesitant, you know, oh gosh, you know, I shouldn't be in this environment. Yet you should absolutely be in this environment. And I'm so incredibly proud of everything that you do and that you've achieved, because that helps raise and demonstrate firsthand what people can do. So well done, you.
Yeah, well done. I think it's really important that we have role models in the Northeast. And I think that entrepreneurs should stand up like all of you three do and speak out and make it clear that actually, if I can achieve this in this region, then you can do that. You know, let's encourage more people to step up, because we do need more businesses. And all of you are doing a brilliant job. So well done. I think it's particularly, it's lovely, isn't it, when you see younger entrepreneurs coming through in the next generation. And I know, Clover, you were recognised in the Forbes 30 under 30. I know you're slightly over 30 now, but not by very much. But is it brilliant to see the next generation? I think we've all got a responsibility to stand up and speak, whether that's at schools or on podcasts or on talks, to inspire that next generation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're coming towards the end of the podcast, and I think we wanted to finish on by talking about what we can do for our region. So is there, I'll ask each of you, but and we will ask everybody this question, is there one thing that you think entrepreneurs can do which will supercharge or push our region further forward?
Firstly, the pint is always half full for a bunch of entrepreneurs, including me. So I'm not sure the region has a problem. Our region is now at the level of national average unemployment and employment. Some of the challenges are going to come that we have a mindset of being a bit on the back foot. But quite quickly, the region has caught up, and we're going to have different challenges when there aren't enough people for the vacancies that are around. So some planning and thought needs to be done around that. But it's back to, I suppose, your point earlier, cheerleading and explaining and talking up the region, which is, again, what Ben Houchen has done superbly, whether he's claimed everything that he's done or other people have done. And you can see Jamie Driscoll, the current mayor, adopting the same strategy. He's pretty much built the new train line from Newcastle to Ashington. But we need to tell that story to a wider set of listeners. And the region is much more diverse. It's much more global. We need to not be telling it to ourselves in an echo chamber. We need to get down to Westminster. We need to get over to the States, to India, to Bangladesh, and link up with those global sets of entrepreneurs to explain to them why, if you're trying to be a global business, Newcastle would be a good place to be a stop-off, an office, a skills hub.
Well said. Absolutely well said. Agree with all of what you've just said. Clover, have you got anything to add? What would be your one thing you would do to help?
I completely agree with Charlie. I would add to that, I think it's so important to give back, and Entrepreneurs Forum is a great place in which you can do that, because you can meet other entrepreneurs and you can support each other and, you know, that journey. But again, just from our experience, the amount of support that we've had, and even just going for a coffee with someone who's much further down the road than you are, can have a massive impact on you, your business, your mindset, just honestly. And I think sometimes we, and I'm probably guilty of it, we maybe underestimate a little bit our own value in that, in our own value in giving to others. And I think if everyone can share knowledge and experience and give back a little, it'd have a massive impact.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everybody else is nodding in the studio here. We'll finish up with Amar.
Yeah, so sorry for not having one thing. I've got three things, and they are innovation. So how do we adopt an innovative mindset, which is pretty much what entrepreneurs and Charlie and Chloe have talked about, and something that the Entrepreneurs Forum has been championing. You know, how do we fix things and make them better? So innovation is one of them. The other thing is internationalization. So how do we, you know, connect more globally? Charlie's mentioned that as part of his ambition, but it's on a bilateral basis. So, you know, how do we encourage people? Everyone that I've brought to this region has gone, oh my gosh, why didn't I come to this region? And why haven't I got a base here? So internationalisation. And the third one, and I suppose if you're going to ask me to choose one, is inclusion, right? And I'm not talking about diversity or gender. I'm just talking about a sense of belonging, a community. You know, the Entrepreneurs Forum that Chloe's talked about, I've been an incredible member, proud member of that for such a long time. I've got so much value from it. I'm equally keen to share some of my experiences because it's that uniqueness that inclusion brings so that I fit in. You know, and that's why creating a region which is the most inclusive in the UK helps develop that narrative. So if I want to be an entrepreneur, someone's not telling me, oh no, you can't be an entrepreneur. You know, if I want to be a doctor, if I want to work in a restaurant, if I want to, you know, there's a place and a space. So for me, it's inclusion is the catalyst, and that can be everything and anything. Inclusion can be anything you want it to be, as long as you can be who you want to be. And that's what the inclusive Northeast should look like.
Like home.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, this is our home. This is our city. This is our region. We love it. Yeah. We think all of you listening will love it. It's storytelling. And that's what I've taken from today's conversation. We need to get out there, tell the story, have a story, be clear on what that story is, and we can take on the world together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go. Okay, well, thank you so much to today's cast. You've been fantastic. Thank you, Amar. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Clover.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. There's absolutely loads of episodes of A Cast of Entrepreneurs, so check out who else has been on the podcast. Give us a listen, like, subscribe, leave us a review, and tune in next time for another exciting edition of A Cast of Entrepreneurs.